Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Wow, praise God some more. That's so good. That's so good. You ready for a word? You ready for a word that I believe God's really laid on my heart? So believe in this word. And I really believe that as you lean into this word, if you have ears to hear tonight, that God's going to use it to actually set you up for your new year. You ready? Come and join me in praying quickly. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you we can stand on the verge of a brand new year, not knowing what the year holds, but we do know who holds the year, Father God. We know that we march in confidence into your faithfulness, into your love, and into your ever-present nature. And Lord, I pray that you would set us up tonight. Father, that it wouldn't be my words, but it'd be your words to every heart under the sound of my voice, Father God, that we would hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. What is it, hey, about that transition from the 31st of December to the 1st of January? Like, what is it? I mean, because really when you think about it, the clock is just still ticking as it normally ticks. The sun went down tonight by the grace of God, and tomorrow morning again by the grace of God, it will rise again in the usual way. But there's just something about a new year, isn't it, that feels like it wipes the slate clean and gives us all a fresh start. And I think at this time of year, so many people, you can't help but look forward. You can't help but make a plan for the new year. And we make these various predeterminations. We predetermine certain things as we head on into our new year, that this year I'm going to do less of that thing. And this year I'm going to do more of that thing, usually exercise. and this year I'm going to develop myself in such and such a way, or I'm going to change such and such about myself. There's these predeterminations that we take into the new year. And what do we call them? New Year's resolutions. That's right. New Year's resolutions. Now, some we're good at keeping, and some we're not so good at keeping, if you're anything like me. But can I suggest to you tonight that one of the most important resolutions, one of the most important things that we can predetermine as we go into our new year is when it comes to God, when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to leaning into His instruction and His direction, that we would resolve to be a people that just say yes to God. That in 2018, we'd resolve to be a people that just say yes. You know, if you're a person that even writes down your New Year's resolutions, why don't you write this down at the very top of your list? In 2018, I will just say yes to God. And I've called this message Just Say Yes because I really want to explore with us in the next 25 minutes what it would look like if we would all just shape our year, around an unreserved yes to God, unreserved obedience to Him. Have you ever had the thought that God's ideas are the best ideas? Like, it's straightforward, right? But I just have been pondering this thought recently, that God's ideas are the best ideas. Like, I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a duffer of an idea. Have you ever had an idea that when you tried to execute the idea, what you found was that it completely and utterly failed? I'm going to tell you a story. I make an awesome lemon cheesecake with yellow lemon jelly on the top. I know. They're making you hungry, right? There's a pizza party afterwards. It's all good. But I make this, like, awesome cheesecake. It's kind of like my signature cake. I'm not much of a cook or a baker, but this is the thing that, you know, I've made dozens of times. And I once had this ingenious idea that I would turn my lemon cheesecake with yellow lemon jelly, I would decorate it for my son's 10th birthday, and I would turn it into a minion.
you know, the minions from the movie Despicable Me? So I did. I put the yellow lemon jelly on the top and I crafted a huge eyeball out of fondant and a mouth and I made this cake. Can we put up the before photo? Hey, look at that. Oh, that's amazing. I heard that. Yes. Amen, brother. I was so proud. I was like, look what I made. Get that thing on Instagram straight away, you know. And then it lasted about 5 minutes before this tragedy started to occur. Because I'm seeing a nod here. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Fondant and jelly don't mix. So I didn't know this, not being a baker. They don't mix, and the big eyeball started to float on top of the jelly. It started to slip and slide, and kind of as it slid, it stained the jelly. Let's put up the after photo. I know. Happy birthday, son. I hope you don't get nightmares. I was like, seriously, that's a Halloween cake. Okay, you can take it down. Get rid of my shame. Who knows that sometimes the best laid plans of man, our best ideas, they actually fail. But I want to tell you tonight, it's not so with God. It's not so with God. He has never had a plan that failed. In fact, Psalm 33, it reminds us of who our God is. Let's have a read together. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars and he puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But here we go. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart throughout all generations. That's our God. This is our God who we sing about, who we worship. He is the creator of the universe. The scripture tells us that he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. In other words, he was there at the beginning of all things and he will be there at the end of all things. And his plans, the Bible tells us, stand firm forever. King David knew this. He exclaimed in 1 Samuel 22, he said, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Our God has never had a plan that failed. So if maybe you, like me tonight, are able to admit that, hey, my plans, my ideas don't always work out so well. They sometimes fail. But maybe on the flip side, you're also a Christian here tonight that earnestly in your heart of heart believes that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, that he is the creator, that he is able and almighty. Can I ask us this question? Why do we sometimes struggle to trust him? Like, why do we sometimes struggle to trust him? So many people I meet and encounter, they actually struggle just to trust and obey God. They actually don't believe that the God idea for their life will be a good idea for their life. And they wrestle against the ways of God and the word of God and the wisdom of God, wrestling against his ideas and his instruction. But I just want us to remember tonight. I just want to remember as we stand on the cusp of a brand new year and compel us that God's ideas for you in 2018 will prove to be the best ideas for you in 2018. Even if it doesn't look like it, even if it's hard, even as Kristen just testified, it was hard and she didn't understand, but God's ideas were proven to be the best ideas. There's a great account in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. And it tells us about a God idea. And it was difficult to trust. and hard to obey. And we're going to have a look at this passage in depth together tonight. We'll read from verse 1 of Luke chapter 5, and it says this. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. They were done for the night. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, here comes that God idea. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't actually caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Okay, we'll leave it there for now. The Simon of this account is the very same Simon that later on Jesus renamed to be Peter. And we better know Peter as a disciple of Jesus that went on to be a father of the early church and an apostle. But here in this account, it's a very early interaction, a very early days in their relationship, if you like, between Simon, a fisherman, and Jesus. And Jesus comes and he delivers this idea to Simon, this God idea, if you like. He says to him, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, what you've got to understand is that Simon is a fisherman by trade. He no doubt fishes these waters regularly and is very familiar with them. And here's Jesus, this carpenter and the son of a carpenter, trying to tell the fisherman how to do his job. I mean, what's going on here? And the first thing that Simon offers to Jesus in response to this God idea is an argument. He argues. He says, Jesus, you know, we've fished all night. We haven't actually caught anything. We've worked hard. The scripture tells us that they'd even washed their nets. So you're telling us to do what? You're telling us to put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch? Like, what the heck? Have you ever said, what the heck, to the Lord? You know, you're asking me to do what? You're asking me to give what? And this argument rises out of Simon because there was nothing at all in his realm of understanding that suggested that the idea Jesus was presenting to him was actually going to be a good idea. It defied his logic. It defied his experience. It defied even his professional opinion. It defied his reasoning and understanding. So he argued. But what I think is so interesting is there's something here in Simon that represents something in all of us. How often do we do that? How often do we bring an argument to God? When you stop and think about it, God has actually given instruction to each and every one of us. God, he has spoken to us all. And I know that there might be people sitting here going, well, I don't think he's spoken to me. But respectfully, I would dispute that because have you picked up your Bible lately? Is not the Bible a book that is full of instruction to us as believers? There's instruction in Philippians 4 where it says, be anxious for nothing. In everything, pray. In everything, with thanksgiving, bring your request to God. That's an instruction from the Lord. What about the instruction to forgive? Forgive without reservation. Forgive because Christ has forgiven you. That's an instruction in the Word. You don't have to have heard the audible voice of God to know the instruction of God. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as go to Africa. This is the voice of the Lord. Go, my son, my daughter. Doesn't have to be like that. If it is, great. If it is, amazing. You've got even less excuse. But for some of us, you know, it's just that still small voice. It's just that sense. It's just that inkling. It's just that word that keeps on coming around about your life far too often for that to be coincidence. It's just that thing that's aligned with his heart and it's aligned with his word, maybe to speak to a person, maybe to go to a place, maybe to do a thing. Maybe God's prompting you to do something. He's been prompting and poking you to do something that for you is going to be hard. Maybe he's speaking to you about, you know, cutting something off, letting something go, letting go of a relationship, or maybe seeing someone, getting some prayer for something, confessing something, repenting of something, apologizing for something. I don't know, whatever the case may be for you, in some way, shape, or form, if you're prepared to admit it, God has spoken to us all. But so often, when God speaks, we're just like Simon, and the first thing we bring to God is an argument as to why we can't do the very thing that he's asking us to do. Sometimes we don't obey, or we won't obey, or we can't obey, because at the end of the day, we're just not really trusting in our heart of hearts that God's ideas are the best ideas. We bring arguments like, you know, I can't forgive because they don't deserve it. Or I won't forgive because I know the likelihood of them hurting me again is very, very high. You know, I can't actually praise right now because you don't know my life and there's actually nothing to praise for. I don't have anything to be thankful for right now, and I will maintain this complaining because there's nothing in my life that's good right now. I can't pray. I can't release that thing. I can't surrender control of that issue right now. I have to figure it out my own, or I'm too scared, I can't go there, I'm not qualified. Does this sound familiar? You know, we're arguing all the time with God, and what we're actually doing in that space is we superimpose our own wisdom over the wisdom of God. We're elevating our own idea and insight over the ideas and the insight of God. And you know what? My prayer for me and for you guys as we go into 2018 is that we would simply stop it. Yeah. That we would just stop it. Stop arguing. Because Simon, after he presented this argument to Jesus, he came to a point where he yielded. He just came to a point where he just said yes. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. We've washed the nets. We were done. But because you say so, I will. But because you say so, I will. What powerful words to take into our 2018. You know, God is not looking for us to even approve of his ideas. He's not looking for our consultation. He's not looking for our input. Oh, what do you think about my idea? No, God doesn't need us to approve. He just needs us to trust him and just say yes. There has to come a point in my walk and in your walk where some, probably multiple points in our walk, where at some point we, like Simon, we just yield. Because you say so, I will. And he can ask us to do that with such confidence because at the end of the day, he knows what you don't know. He knows why he's asking you to do that thing. He doesn't need to know what, he doesn't need you to know why he's asking you to do the thing. He's the beginning and he is the end. And he is your father. And he loves you so much. And he has the best in mind for you. Whatever he's asking you to do, he has the best in mind for you. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, and I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to lead you into a hope and a future. What he needs from us is that we would yield and just say yes. Look what happened when Simon let go of his arguments and he said yes to Jesus. We're going to pick that scripture back up in Luke 5, reading from verse 6. So it says, when they had done so, that is when they had let down their nets for a catch, it says, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Wow. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of the companions were astonished. They were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and they followed him. Incredible passage of scripture. It's so rich. God's been speaking so much to me out of this. And there's a few things I want you to see. And the first thing I want you to see is that it was Simon's yes that released the miracle. This was a miracle catch that happened on the boat that day. They went all night, caught nothing. Then a single drop of the nets, they had two boats full to sinking. It was nothing short of a miracle. Now, Simon could have reasonably said no to Jesus. I think that's a possibility. He was a fisherman. After all, he could have said, "Look, thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. Why don't you just leave the fishing to me? After all, you know what I'm doing. Come on, let's just go back to shore." And I don't think Jesus would have forced him to obey. And I don't think anybody else would have thought too much about it because it was logical. It was kind of reasonable and understandable. But guess what? He would have missed out on a miracle. It was the yielding. It was the yes. It was the obedience that actually released a miracle that day. Do you know, in 2018, when you say yes to God, not yes to compulsion, not yes to stinking people pleasing, not yes to obligation, not yes to any of those things, but when you say yes to God, it can and it will release a miracle into your life. You know, it was at the very point that Simon decided to yield that the miracle was released. He yielded. He said, "Look, it doesn't matter about my experience. It doesn't matter about my professional opinion. It doesn't matter about my understanding. I yield and say yes to you." And at that point, a miracle was released. If you go into 2018 relying on your human understanding, and just relying on your own insights and human wisdom, I can already tell you what will happen. You'll get a human result. Maybe that's not so bad, I don't know. But if in faith you decide that, you know what, his ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are greater than my thoughts, and his are the ones, the plans that stand firm forever. And therefore, I am going to yield. I'm going to lean into his instruction and his understanding and his wisdom and his ways. If that's your posture, you get to unlock a God result over your 2018. It's in our yes. It's in our obedience to God that it unlocks divine favor. It unlocks his provision. It unlocks his supernatural hand to rush in and flood into all of your life and all of your circumstance. Just like Kristen shared tonight, we saw just the most incredible testimony of God flooding into her impossible situation. But it never could have happened unless she said yes. Who knows what miracles lie on the other side of your yes? What miracles lie on the other side of your yes? What relationship might be restored? What hurt may be healed? What impossibility may be overcome? What provision may be released when you decide to just say yes? My next thought is that your yes is never just about you. Your yes is always going to bless others. Your yes will bless not just yourself, but others. Simon's yes, it blessed so many more than just him. Remember, the scripture said that they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled the partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink, and everyone was astonished at the catch. See, what you've got to understand is that God is not unidimensional. God is actually multidimensional. I don't know about you, I struggle with multidimensional things, multitasking. I'm not very good at it, but God can multitask. He multitasks wonderfully. And while the crux of this story is about Simon and Jesus, Jesus and Simon, the blessing of the miracle catch extended way beyond Simon to the others that were around and got to witness what happened that day. The others got blessed. James and John got blessed. The people who got fed by that catch got blessed. The local community, even the local economy, got blessed. All got blessed because Simon just said yes. God is multidimensional, and he might be challenging you on something. He might be, you know, talking to you about something, but you can be sure that he's got others in mind as well. Your yes does not exist in a vacuum. Your yes does not exist in isolation. When you say yes, someone else is going to get blessed. Who is it? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Is it your parents? Is it your children? Is it the generations to come after you? Is it the person that you're going to share your testimony with and it's going to unlock a salvation experience in them? Is it the person that you're going to minister to or the ministry that you start? I don't know. All I know is someone else is going to get blessed when you decide to say yes to God. My final thought tonight, as the singers and musos come and join me. You know, your yes will give rise to yes. Let me explain what I mean by that. So your ability to say yes in a small thing will actually give rise to your ability to say yes to a big thing. You think about the story we just read. Simon was initially reluctant to say yes to this small thing, putting out the nets for a catch, and ended up saying yes to leaving everything. Leaving his boat, leaving his life, leaving his profession, his livelihood, and his career. What is with that? Initially reluctant to say yes to this small thing, ends up saying yes to everything. Why was that? You got to understand that we actually serve a God of Ephesians 3:20. We serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine or dream or think, according to his power that is at work within us. And what happened on that boat that day in Luke chapter 5, I believe, was actually a case study in Ephesians 3:20. Because what Simon got to witness was God doing immeasurably more than he could have asked or thought or dreamt or imagined. And the scripture tells us that Simon fell to Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." What was happening here? His revelation of Christ had just gone from like a 2 to a 10. He had just actually bumped into the power, the authority, the divine might of Christ. And his revelation had increased. And this guy that initially struggled to say yes to a small thing was suddenly prepared to say yes to everything. I have seen his power. He can have my life. And I want to prophesy over you today, church, tonight, on this verge of a new year, that in 2018, as you say yes to God, not yes to any other superficial thing, but as you say yes to the instruction of the Lord, that you too will bump into the God of Ephesians 3:20. That you will bump into the God that can do immeasurably more than you could even ask or think or dream or imagine. He has way more in store for you than you know. His plans are better for you than you even give him credit for. And as you see his hand at work, your faith is going to grow. I speak it over you for 2018. Your revelation of God is going to go from a 2, some of you, to a 10. It's going to go through the roof as you see him do the thing that he's always wanted to do. Some people are waiting. They're waiting for the big thing to say yes to God to. You know, the big word, the big call, you know, that big writing on the wall moment, that big experience. They're waiting for that to say yes. I'll say yes. But who knows, the pathway to the big thing might just be by saying yes to the small thing. When you think about it, Simon's pathway to apostleship began by saying yes to a fishing trip. Who knows that your pathway to this significant thing that you feel God calling you to might actually be by saying yes to something that's less significant thing. Whatever it is in your life in 2018, would we be a people that would resolve to just say yes? Come on, why don't you put your things away, stand to your feet. You know, back in 2011, I was a stay-at-home mum. I wasn't on staff. I just was volunteering at church, like many of you here tonight volunteer at church. And really, most of my life was just about raising little kids. I had a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old at the time. It was all, you know, cut lunches, school runs. And for my youngest guy, Isaiah, with special needs, we were in the throes of early intervention therapy. We were just appointments and appointments and appointments. That was my life. And it started to become clear to me kind of towards the end of 2011 that God was asking me, a God idea was coming to me, that he was asking me to just do something for women in the church. Real simple, just put something on for women. And this God idea was coming to me through a number of different avenues. You know, lots of different people had spoken to me. Very coincidentally, it seemed. I had had a couple of prophetic words. I'd had a bit of a nudge from my husband. You know what that's like, married people in the room. And I want to tell you, I had arguments. I just had so many arguments with God, because through those early childhood years, I'd really lost my confidence. I'd really, you know, just didn't think I had very much to offer. I didn't think that I was in any way qualified. I didn't even like women's ministry that much. I was women's neutral, you know, like if the women get together, great. If they don't get together, great. You know, I was like, God, you've picked the wrong person. You've spoken to the wrong person. And I argued. I argued and I argued and I argued. Maybe some of you can relate. But at some point, by his grace, I just decided to yield. Yield. I was like, okay, Lord, yes. Okay, I will. I'll put something on for women. Yes. I don't know what. I don't know how. I think you've got the wrong person, but okay, yes. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, to tell you everything that happened, but let me tell you, within 12 months, I actually found myself running a statewide women's event, the Walk for Freedom. And that event, over 2 years, I ran it for 2 consecutive years, we saw 1,000 participants, and we raised just shy of $40,000 against human trafficking. Isn't that incredible? And it started just because I was prepared to say yes. And I got to bump into the God of Ephesians 3:20, who did immeasurably more with my yes than I could have asked or thought or imagined. And I don't know what that thing is for you. I don't know what he's asking of you in 2018. But whatever it is, can I encourage you to just say yes, because he has more for you on the other side of your yes than you can ask or think or dream or imagine. Amen? Amen. Come on, all over this building, close your eyes.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.